Greetings, and welcome to the Recombobulation Area. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you for joining us. There's been a lot happening these past couple of months as Donald Trump has returned to office as president, and Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency has begun to take a wrecking ball to various federal agencies, making drastic cuts to the federal workforce. We're beginning to see the effects of this at the state level here in Wisconsin, and recent reports have indicated that mass layoffs are happening at agencies within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which has a significant presence in the state. As we continue to work to understand what's happening from a big picture policy standpoint, we also want to help tell the stories of how these actions are impacting real people, real Wisconsinites. To do that, we have a very special guest host for this episode. He is the former Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. Mr. Barnes, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the Recombobulation Area.
Mr. Barnes sounds so formal, but really, you know, excited to have this opportunity to tell these stories. Hate that we have to tell them, but so many folks still don't understand the reality, don't understand the gravity of these cuts, and they don't understand the impact that it's having on their own communities and the real lives of people within those communities.
It is rather discombobulating, and we're trying to make sense of all of that's going on here. So tell us about your guest for this interview and about the conversation that you had.
So my guest is a friend of mine, Katya Wanish. We are part of a running group, go figure. But I've never known her to be political at all. She speaks to that a little bit in our conversation. But I did notice on social media that she posted about being fired less than a year, being into her new job, her new role as a wetlands engineer for the NRCS. And she posted about how it was a dream job for her. Some of those same stories that you see have been going viral. But, you know, those folks, you know, we haven't had a, you know, a necessarily real connection. Like if you're here in Wisconsin, they've been very sensational and they are important stories to tell. But this one is a person I actually know. And so it felt even more real, especially considering that it's such an issue that is near and dear to me, wetlands preservation, any sort of, you know, conservation work, and the importance of the entire, not just ecosystem or ecology, but economy of the state of Wisconsin. And she has a very unique perspective, being a young person, you know, relatively speaking. I'm in my late 30s now. She's in her mid-20s. And it's important to even consider the fact that she took this job after having already worked for the federal government. She had kept her old position. She'd still be employed right now, but she pursued her passion. She chased her dreams, and she was penalized for it.
So unfortunate, but we do really appreciate Katya sharing her story with you and for you bringing this story to our listeners here at Civic Media and at the Recombobulation Area. And so without further ado, we will take a listen to Mandela Barnes' conversation with the now former wetlands engineer at the National Resources Conservation Services, Katya Wanish.
Hey, everybody, this is Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor with a special project with Civic Media. I would love to call this not a podcast because I said I wasn't going to do a podcast, but the moment calls for important conversations with people who've been impacted by cuts, devastating cuts by the Trump administration, aided by Elon Musk. Just wanted you all to hear what is going on in the lives of everyday folks who are taking this challenge head on, but they're not taking it lying down. So with that said, I want to take a second to get into it because as we record today, Friday afternoon, it is a beautiful day outside. Got a good friend of mine, running buddy, Katya Wanish. I pronounced the last name right?
Yep, yeah.
I got it right. I was taking a gamble on that one because I've only called you by your first name. A running buddy of mine who spent time at the USDA and has unfortunately had her position eliminated by decisions made by an unelected billionaire, the most wealthy person in the entire planet, on the entire planet. I think it's unfair. I know she thinks it's unfair. We're going to take a moment to dive into her story. But let's talk about the things that we are enjoying first. We got to talk about the things that we do get a chance to appreciate, like this weather. And I know for a fact, I asked you before the show because I knew the answer and you got out for a run today, right?
Yep. I ran 17 miles with some friends of mine around the lovely Arboretum and bike past Madison, Wisconsin. Love living here for that reason.
It is an incredible place to run, and you have put me to shame with that 17 miles. It's a weird dynamic because usually I get to put people to shame when they interview me about running distance. And this is also unique for me being on this side of the interview table, so to say. The only other person I've had a chance to interview this way has been Stacey Abrams. So that's whose footsteps you're following. No pressure. No pressure at all. So Kazi, you want to take a moment to tell the people about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Kati Wanish. I was born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin. Could see the Capitol out of my bedroom window from where I grew up. So I have always been passionate about the environment, working out outdoors, exercising. I started running in high school. That's a big part of my identity. I went to West High School and then followed that up with going to UW-Madison. At UW-Madison, I got a double major in biological systems engineering and then also environmental science. And then right out of college, I actually took a little break, backpacked around Europe, really enjoyed that experience, and then came back ready to dive into my position in the federal workforce.
Yeah, so let's take a second and talk about that position in the federal workforce.
Yeah, so I started at Indian Health Services, which is a department under the agency HHS, Health and Human Services. And I was a field engineer there, and my office worked with tribes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota on their water and wastewater infrastructure. So I primarily worked with five different tribes in Wisconsin, ensuring that they had their water and wastewater systems that were up to date and they had access to those important resources.
And so how would you say that, you know, your experience as an endurance athlete, as a runner, you know, you swim also, and how does that mesh with the type of work that you're doing? How did it draw you to the type of work that you were a part of?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I chose that position for multiple different reasons. You know, I was excited to get into the federal government, but also on kind of, you know, my interest side of things, it was an outdoor position. I got to spend a lot of time in the field on some of these beautiful reservations. And, you know, I really enjoyed that aspect of it being out there.
I mean, it feels like a very unique position, a very special position, because one, it's not something everybody gets a chance to do. Like, there's so much beauty here specifically in the state of Wisconsin as it relates to our natural spaces. I tell people all the time, one of the most rewarding parts about being lieutenant governor was getting to travel, getting to see all the beauty that this place had to offer, the interactions with our 11 federally recognized tribes, getting to learn, you know, the ways that things have been done in the past and as how they relate to the life we get to enjoy now. What do you think was your favorite part about the position? Actually, how long did you get to serve in the role?
Yeah, I was there for a year and 6 months. So I really enjoyed all that time there. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, making connections. And I think the reason that I chose the position is because I wanted to serve the people. I mean, I knew I could go to some large company or whatever and get a job right away. But I was really looking for a position that allowed me to interact and serve with people and, you know, see those benefits on a daily basis. So, you know, I really enjoyed working with people on the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation. They have beautiful lakes around and Menominee, their gorgeous forests. And it was really cool to be in the field talking with these wastewater and water operators while we're working on construction and that sort of thing, while also enjoying these beautiful spaces. And there's a lot of days where I was standing out there and I was like, wow, I'm so lucky to have this job and be standing in the middle of this beautiful forest doing work for these people.
And I think you touched on a very important point, because you could have been in the private sector. So many other folks could be in the private sector, making a lot more money in many instances, but it's the commitment and the dedication to other people. And not to say that those private sector experiences are completely selfish, but what I am saying is that when folks go to work for the federal government, it's not because they're chasing a paycheck or trying to be some drain on the system. In fact, it's the folks that are trying to contribute to the system.
Exactly. Yeah. So I interned when I was in college. I interned at a Fortune 500 company, and, you know, I really enjoyed that experience. I learned a lot there. But one of the key takeaways is I didn't feel like I was actually able to help people through my position. You know, I was sitting behind a computer doing software all day, and I didn't feel like I was actually like interacting with any clients and like helping people in the field, which has been a big part of my goals in my career. You know, if I got this degree, and when I got my degree, I was like, you know, I want to do something good with my life. And to me, that meant, you know, actively serving and actively being able to see those impacts of who I serve. So I was really excited to get into the federal workforce and be able to, you know, see those people, see how putting a new water main in a community so they have clean water impacts people.
For sure. I also interned for a Fortune 500 company when I was in college, and it's what let me know ultimately that I wanted to move towards a more service-oriented role for myself. And look, I don't cast aspersion on anybody who chooses that path to work on for a big corporate. That's go ahead. But I knew that it wasn't necessarily for me at the time, or I still don't think that is for me.
Yeah.
So what would you want people to know about the role? Because some folks, like I've been taking a deep dive into numbers and to see who approves of what's going on right now with the committee. I'm not even going to call that committee what they want it to be called. I will ultimately call it some pejorative if I even keep pressing this issue. But what I will say is that some people can look, oh yeah, well, there's so much waste in the federal government. And sure, of course, there's waste in federal government, waste state and local government as well. But I think that ultimately, a lot of that waste is attributed to the same folks who get contracts all over and over again. And Elon Musk is one of those people who's been one of the biggest beneficiaries of federal government contracts. But people don't always see the real world impact when it's just slash and burn. Mm-hmm. And even if you decided that, you know, you don't like this person because they have a federal government job, think about what those jobs mean, not just economically speaking, but you were responsible for a whole lot in your position, even just being 1 year in. And you're a little bit younger than me. I don't want to start talking about ages, but you're a little bit younger than me. And even in your role, in your capacity, you had a certain level of responsibility to be a steward of the resources here. And I think about all the folks in different agencies. It could be Department of Veteran Affairs. It could be even the IRS, even the FBI, like all these mm-hmm. different federal agencies that have been tasked with keeping the American people safe, with keeping the American people healthy. And there has just been an abject failure in such a short amount of time. So I want you to talk about, like, what do you want people to know about what your role meant, as well as other roles that are being cut?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I really felt like I was the point of contact for the tribes and my office in general. You know, when they had issues with any of their water or wastewater systems, we were the first people to call. I know people in my office who would answer calls, you know, any time of the day, anytime, weekends, overnight, to answer the questions as these operators, as a technical resource for them to make sure that their communities had these, like, important sanitary services. And then I guess in my role specifically, like, one of the programs that we did is we provide septics and wells for tribal members that aren't on community systems. And I was the point of contact for multiple different tribes specifically for that. And I oversaw the whole process. And, you know, I really felt important in that role as people, when they didn't have a septic system or when it didn't work, so when they went to flush their toilet, you know, it backed up into their house, or they turned on their faucet and they didn't have clean water, I was the person that was out there checking and verifying and seeing what we could do to help correct that, and then ultimately getting them the services they needed installed. And, you know, I really enjoyed that role and the impact that I could see that I was making, because I would see individual people who went from having brown water with very low pressure to having a good, clean water that they could drink out of their faucet.
I mean, you can tell the passion in your voice about what you were doing, and it just makes you feel as if you have to be very wealthy in this country just to survive, given the complete lack of regard for air quality, for water quality, for anything that keeps people safe and keeps them healthy. It is the most vulnerable people who will always bear the brunt of that. And what folks often fail to realize is that when vulnerable populations suffer, it has an impact on everybody. It is the right thing to do from a very noble perspective, but it's also the right thing to do even if you're a selfish person, even if you are an individual, even if you subscribe to individualism, rugged individualism, which cannot exist in a society with 8 billion people. You got to care about somebody else if you care about yourself, is something that I really want. What I see is sycophants in Congress who are going along with this. And I know you mentioned that you don't take this personally when we had a chance to speak, but even if you don't take it personally, like, how does this make you feel in regards to your position, your role, what you were able to do in that very short amount of time, but also some of the other folks in the federal government who are dealing with similar situations.
Yeah, definitely. So I really feel like there's a lack of dignity, and I just felt like I was kind of completely erased from the system one day. So I essentially received a blank email, nothing written in the message, nothing saying, hi, Kati, or anything like that. A blank email with an attachment telling me that I was terminated. And just kind of that shock of not even feeling like I was a person in that moment, that they could take a second to write anything in the body of that email, really stung. And I was terminated for performance, which is, I'm still trying to figure out why exactly. You know, I received multiple awards in my time as an engineer. I was nominated for Junior Engineer of the Year. And it's just kind of confusing why I was terminated for performance. You know, my supervisors, no one up in the higher ups in the state agency really knew that I was being let go. And I've tried to reach out to HR contacts and still just haven't got any answers on this. And it's kind of just really weird, and it feels really hurtful that people would suddenly think that my position isn't important.
It is incredibly cruel and incredibly damaging to a person's psyche. And my heart goes out to you. And that's one of the reasons I want to make sure we have this conversation, because people need to hear from real voices that are dealing with this. Like, it's, we can all read online. We can all see the posts. We can all, you know, watch the news, listen to the news, however you're getting information. But hearing from the people impacted is what has always been important, being able to provide that perspective. And what's the thing you want people to know?
Yeah, I guess I just want people to know, like, that this is impacting real people. It's not just random people working behind a computer. These are real people with real lives that do real things to help the Americans and the people living in this country. I guess one thing that keeps on really stinging to me, so I worked a year and a half for Indian Health Services, like I was telling you about earlier, and then I switched to USDA for 1 month while I was there in that brief period of time. And, you know, I was super excited. I remember texting my sister on the first day of the job and saying, I think this is my dream job. I was a wetlands engineer there, so working to restore wetlands primarily in southern Wisconsin. And I was super excited about that position. You know, I finally felt, you know, I had 4 years of schooling and, you know, started with a different public job in the federal government and finally transitioned into like my dream job. And I was so excited about it. And I guess I knew when I started, you know, I could start to sense that there was a little turmoil. I was the last batch of hires to get brought on before they had the like shutdown on hiring. And something that still like stings me to this day, I guess, is had I stayed with Indian Health Services, I was not a probationary employee there anymore. Hmm. And I would have still been around. But because I transferred to USDA, I started a new probation and I was let go. And something to me that like stands out is like, I feel like the American dream is going and doing. And when you get a big opportunity, you're excited about this career switch into a job that perfectly aligns with what you want, like you should take that. And it was something, you know, I thought about and I was like, I'm not sure if my position's going to be there, but it feels silly to turn down this like big opportunity in my life. So
it was the right thing to do. And what's so striking about the people you see online who say, well, I was terminated because of performance, like folks who go in who have done the right thing are being punished for doing the right thing. At the same time, you see people with some of the most egregious interests having unlimited amounts of power and influence over the federal government. You see yeah. oil and gas executives get in to make the decisions about our public lands. You see people who have a whole lot of money to make deciding who gets contracts and what contracts get cut. You see just some very nefarious actors, and it feels as if there is not enough to protect the American people from this onslaught. And I'm not sure if you've ever considered yourself to be political before. I don't want to make assumptions. I'll let you answer that question.
Yeah, definitely. You know, vaguely involved in politics. I took AP Gov in high school and had some great history teachers at West High School that, you know, definitely like taught me the political ideas and different things that we should be thinking about. But I wouldn't say I'm like super strong and political. I'm generally not one to take out there to the streets or anything like that. But now I will be.
For sure. Now I will be. I want people to hear that part because one of the unintended consequences for them, for sure, is an activated base of people who have to live the reality of the Trump administration and really are here to demand answers. It's going to be people like Kati who are showing up, not just in the streets, but people who are showing up to run for office, people who are ready to challenge the system, people who are ready to demand more from leadership. And speaking of demanding more from leadership, what do you want to see people in Congress fighting for right now as these cuts continue, as this sort of soulless behavior persists and festers in the federal government, in the White House specifically? What do you want to see from leaders?
Yeah, I guess I want to see leaders demanding why this is happening instead of passively just sitting by. And, you know, I've called my senators here in Wisconsin multiple times. I got the voicemail box for Ron Johnson, and I didn't even get to the voicemail. His voicemail was full, and I got the voicemail of Tammy Baldwin. But, you know, I really haven't heard from my senators. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure. I follow the news, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not entirely sure what I can be doing, what other people can be doing to protect their jobs, if anything, like what exactly is happening. And I guess it's just a very weird and scary time to be alive. And I know the other people I was still working with that I left at the USDA and RCS, like I texted one of them the other day, my supervisor, and he was like, use my personal phone number as a reference because I have no idea like when I'm still going to be around. And, you know, these are real people's lives that they're essentially playing with here. I think that's what's going on. Like, it's not strategic or anything anymore. It feels like play.
Pawns in a billionaire's game.
Exactly.
That's exactly what's happening right now. And for so long, people have been warning, saying the level of income inequality is out of control. No individual should be able to amass this sort of wealth. No individuals should be able to amass this sort of influence because it can only have bad consequences. And we are seeing those bad consequences in real time, and regular people are being hurt in the process. And when you talk about, you know, the sort of passive resistance, I do understand, and you are certainly not the only person. I looked at some of the numbers, as I mentioned before, you know, the amount of people that think this country is going in the right direction underwater, around 38 to 50 is kind of the average in terms of polling. Trump's approval rating is at 47%, which is way too high, in my opinion. Granted, 50% disapprove, but at the same time, you got someone who like Elon Musk, who has a 43% approval rating. Again, too high. Mm-hmm. Underwater. But what gets to my core is the fact that Democrats in Congress, the approval is 21%. 21% of the American people.
Wow. I didn't know that it was that low, to be honest.
40% of Democratic voters, according to a Kenny Piak poll last week, 40% of Democratic voters approve of Democrats in Congress right now. And I just want the message to be, you know, abundantly clear that we aren't waiting for an emergency to happen. An emergency is here. An emergency is taking place. We are in the middle of an emergency. We need people who are ready to ring the alarm. We also need people who are ready to put out the fire. And it takes effort to put out the fire. It takes a desire to put out the fire. This, we can't be comfortable. And this is the collective we. But if you have a position, you don't have the luxury of being comfortable in this moment. So many people are dependent on you.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I am super frustrated about this, but I feel really helpless. Like, there's nothing I can do. Like I said, I'm literally a pawn in someone's game. They don't care about me at all. And I guess I'm just looking to my elected officials and people that do have the power to do something to try to help here, because I feel helpless.
And so I'll push you. I'll push you on this one. Yeah, I've agreed with you the entire time, but I fundamentally have to disagree with the nothing you can do, because there's always, and I know it can feel like there's nothing you can do. I know you can feel like you're powerless, sure. But that's the purpose of this all. It is to make you feel powerless. And if you submit, as it feels, as many people feel that leaders in Congress are doing right now, submitting to the will, then there's no hope for anybody. And so I just want you to understand that there is still work you can do. There is still power that you do have, even if it seems like you don't. And you don't have to answer this question, but I hope that there is a cadre of you all who have had to deal with similar circumstances in terms of unfair termination have been able to find community.
Oh, definitely.
And, okay. Yeah. That is all right.
Yeah.
That is good to hear. And so this completes my pushback. Now you just made my point, because together in numbers is where you're able to demonstrate that power.
Exactly.
There's been no movement to fight injustice that didn't start with a bunch of people that felt they were powerless, but also other folks who were determined to reject that notion. And you being in the eye of the storm, especially as a young person, you're still fresh in your 20s, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you got a whole lot of energy and a lot of time. And the people who are listening, I'm sure you're going to have a whole lot of people who are behind you in your efforts, because this is a wrong that has to be righted in one way or another, whether it's you getting your job back, whether it's you getting a better job at the federal government at some point, or whether it's a person who also thought that they were powerless getting a chance to get their voice out there, to be able to tell their stories, to make life better for all of us.
Yeah, you're totally right about that, Mandela. And, you know, I really have been trying to do that. I spoke with someone from the Cap Times the other day, and then we have a group chat with everyone that I was let go with. I immediately told them, hey, they want to hear your story, and pushing those people out there. I plan on going to a protest later today for Elon Musk against him at a Tesla supercharger station. So I'm looking forward to get out there and seeing other people that have the same views as mine and have also likely been hurt, and getting out there and finding community in that and fighting back together.
I appreciate you not giving up. What fun things you got coming up?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm looking forward to this beautiful spring in Madison. I'm a big runner, so looking forward to clear bike paths and trails again. I'm racing Ice Age 50 here in May. That's an ultra marathon, so I'm really excited about that as well.
It is a very long run for people who are unfamiliar with the Ice Age 50. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the races that I've run, but I can tell you I'm not doing Ice Age 50. It's far too far for me to run. So my hat goes off to people like you. I will certainly be seeing you out there on the trail. You're a lot faster than me, so it will be a very brief encounter. But I just want to thank you for taking the time to share your story. One, it is it's brave to do so, because you think about, you know, the power and the heft of the federal government, but also the vengeance that's being enacted on individuals. It takes a lot to be able to show up. And I just want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your service to this country, your service to the people of the state of Wisconsin, and know that this is not over.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here today, Mandela. I was really happy to hear my story, and I'm hoping that other people can start to understand what's actually happening, and these are real people that are being impacted.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
That conversation you just heard was with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and Katia Wanish, the now former wetlands engineer at the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Mandela, what did you learn from this conversation?
So, yeah, I learned that there's a lot of important work that is or was going on over at the agency, and unfortunately learned about what's going to happen as a result of that department being unstaffed or understaffed. There are so many people in this country who have given their entire professional selves, their entire professional existence in pursuit of service of this country. These are public servants, and to have these opportunities just swept from underneath their feet is a shame on our nation right now. And I hope that there are opportunities for these folks to mobilize, to organize, to engage others, and to educate as well. And I hope this program, I hope that that interview could shed light for folks who still don't understand what exactly is happening right now as they slash and burn the entire federal workforce. We are all going to have to deal with it. We are all going to have to pay the price in one way or another. And it's going to be a big mess to clean up whenever this nightmare is over.
Yeah, hearing Katia Wanish talk about, you know, this being a dream job for her, and a dream job being in public service. And that seems like the exact type of person who we should want to have a long career in public service, helping people across the country, helping in all of the important work that she was doing. And it is so unfortunate that, you know, it has taken the turn that it has.
And these aren't easy jobs either. Let's make no mistake right. about that. They require a high level of education. They require a very real attention to detail, an acute attention to detail. And to even replace, even if they decided to hire for that position tomorrow, it would be hard for a person at that caliber to say, yeah, I'm going to go take this job, because the threat will always loom that you may not have that job the next day.
Yeah, very concerning stuff. So much of what's been happening is so concerning for so many, and we really appreciate you having this conversation and helping share this story, and we so appreciate Katya for speaking out and for sharing her experience as well. If you have a story to share with us, with Civic Media, or with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, you can get in touch with us at info@civicmedia.us or at therecombobulationarea@gmail.com. or through any of Civic Media's social media platforms. Mandela, thank you again, and keep fighting the good fight.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.